Great, good morning. Well, great song. You know, we're on this theme, aren't we, of grace? And this is part five. Didn't know there was so much to grace, did you? That grace that we had defined to us right at the very beginning of our series, the unmerited favour of God to the undeserving and the ill-deserving. And we've been saying, you know, it enables us to be. Thank God for the grace of God that enables me to be his child. Not out of anything of my merit or ability or goodness or whatever, but because of the goodness of Jesus. You and I are here today and able to share in communion together and to celebrate our God who conquered death, who conquered sin. And here we are this morning celebrating in the freedom that we have in this nation to be able to do that. And, you know, we said we're not what we were. But we are who we are by the grace of God. We're not yet what we will be. There's a journey, there's a process. We are going from glory to glory. Yeah, and we'll never be the same. It's going to keep going. This journey has not finished yet. Somebody say amen. Come on, yeah. So, it enables us to be, it enables us to do. I don't know about you, but I look at my life sometimes and I'm gobsmacked the things that God gets me into. You know, you think, how on earth did I get here? Never dreamed, imagined, conceived in my mind. And I believe that's for each one of us, that God wants to take us on a journey of adventure. And we believe that Christian life should be an adventure. It's not meant to be a trudge. It's meant to be something to be embraced and gone for wholeheartedly, 100%. Because God gave himself wholeheartedly, 100% for you and me. And we just want to flow into all that he has for us. So how many believe the grace of God is a good thing? Right, so we're going to talk about being graced to give and graced for generosity. How many of you still believe the grace of God is a good thing? Okay, if you've got your Bibles, why don't you turn to 2 Corinthians chapter 8. 2 Corinthians chapter 8. Get out your electronic device. Or if you've got the paper version, go for that. If you've got the New International Version, it's headed, from verse 1 there, it's headed up, the collection for God's people. If you've got a New Living Translation, it'll say, a call to generous giving. And the context of this is the Apostle Paul was writing to the churches and taking up a collection from the Gentile churches for God's people in Jerusalem and Judea. They were going through a particularly hard time, famine in the late AD 40s, when this is set. And so they were taking up an offering to help with the famine and aid relief, as you will, in the Judean area. So he appeals to the believers at Corinth in this letter. And let's read a few verses from verse 1. He says, "Now, brothers and sisters, we want you to know about the grace of God, or the grace that God has given the Macedonian churches. In the midst of a very severe trial, their overflowing joy and their extreme poverty welled up in rich generosity. For I testify that they gave as much as they were able, and even beyond their ability. Entirely on their own, they urgently pleaded with us for the privilege of sharing in this service to the Lord's people. And they exceeded our expectations. They gave themselves first to the Lord, and then by the will of God also to us. So we urged Titus, just as he had earlier made a beginning, to bring also to completion this act of grace on your part. But since you excel in everything, in faith, in speech, in knowledge, in complete earnestness, and in the love we have kindled in you, see that you also excel in this grace of giving. I'm not commanding you, but I want to test the sincerity of your love, comparing it with the earnestness of others. For you know the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, that though he was rich, yet for your sake he became poor, so that you, through his poverty, might become rich. And here is my judgment about what is best for you in this matter. Last year, you were the first not only to give, but also to have the desire to do so. Now finish the work so that your eager willingness to do it may be matched by your completion of it, according to your means. For if the willingness is there, the gift is acceptable according to what one has, not according to what one does not have. Our desire is not that others might be relieved while you are hard-pressed, but that there might be equality. At the present time, your plenty will supply what they need, so that in turn, their plenty will supply what you need. The goal is equality. As it is written, the one who gathered much did not have too much, and the one who gathered little did not have too little. And we'll explore that passage over the next few minutes. But there's a great starting point in there, if you will, and that is in verse 9, which says, "For you know the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, that though he was rich, yet for your sake he became poor, so that you through his poverty might become rich." How many are grateful for God's grace and his gift of love to us? You know that he left his father's side and he came as a man, as he was talking about earlier when we were sharing communion together. Set aside that majesty and came as a man. A little lower than the angels, scripture tells us, to be our saviour. His infinite wealth set aside and he became poor for us. And his motive was that we might become rich. Rich in this experience of salvation and the knowledge of him and the Father. He became poor so that we may become rich. And what a great example for us all. You know, one who is willing to give up everything. Give it all up. And we'll touch with that in a few minutes. And Paul goes on to say, it is by grace that this attitude of wanting to give and enjoying to give, enjoy giving, that it will be produced in us. And he starts off this passage that we read, talking about the Macedonian believers. And he says there from verse 1, he says the grace, from verse 1 through to verse 7, he's talking about them. He says the grace that God has given to the Macedonian church. And he says their generosity was an expression of God's grace at work in their lives. And Paul is holding these guys, these believers at Macedonia, as an example. He says, look at what these guys have been doing. And how many believe that as the Church of Jesus Christ, people should be able to hold as an example our generosity? The grace of God at work in us, that we are a generous people. That's not to say that there aren't generous people in the world today. I think as a nation, we're quite good at giving to good causes and to charity. Although I do get a little bit frustrated sometimes. Do you ever, like me, I don't go into the shops, but sometimes I find myself walking through the centre of town, through that paved area on Victoria Street, and you have to work out what I call the Victoria Street slalom. And you see people with the clipboards, yeah, and they have the little gazebos, and they're collecting for charity. And many of them are great causes. But, you know, how are you going to deal with that? You don't want to be rude? I've come up with a little plan. Well, I've used it for quite a lot now. Would anybody like to know my little plan of how to deal with it? Oh. Don't go to town, yeah. That's not the plan. Because sometimes, inevitably, you do end up having to go to the bank or something. So when they come to you and they're talking about their good cause and, you know, classically, just £5 a month will make this incredible amount of difference. And I'm sure it would. So I usually say to them, and they say, you know, just what would £5 a month be? And I usually say to them, okay, before we get into all of that, can I ask you a question? And they go, okay. And I say, right, what percentage of my gross income do you think I should give to charity every month? It just takes them aback a bit. And then they have a think about it. And quite often they'll come up with a number. And as yet, they've not matched what I already give. So as you say, that's great, thank you very much, I'm doing it, brilliant, thank you for your endorsement, and I walk off. But you've got to be generous to be able to do that as a default position. Because I do believe that, you know, personal, you know, we should be considered in our giving. And Paul is commending these guys in Macedonia, not just about their personal giving, but the corporate generosity of the churches there. And as a result, you know, he's lived in them and said, look at these guys contributing to the needs of others in the area and the community. And I want to say thank you to you guys over the last year, 2016, for your contribution that has enabled us as a corporate gathering to be able to do so much. Let me just share one or two figures as an interlude here. Last year, 2016, City Church, our financial year goes 1st of January to 31st of December, and we had £151,749 in tithes, offerings and gift aid. Thank you for your kindness and your goodness and your generosity, the grace of generosity on you. We had some other income. It's mainly from the nursery and interest and £20,800. Total of £172,640. Thank you to everyone who helped with that and was part of that. And in doing so, we've endeavoured to be generous. And if you remember early on, if you were with us early on last year, I was hoping that we would be able to head towards giving 25% of our income to mission, to helping the poor, and to our local community, to helping others in the Church of Jesus Christ. I think we've given just over 20% the previous year, 20%. Well, last year we gave 41,434, which equates to 24.1%. We almost got to 25. We're going to keep going at that. But thank you for helping us to be able to do that. I feel blessed that we can do that. And when Paul is referring to the Macedonian church, you know, we're blessed to be able to do that. Got some good income. But Paul's saying the Macedonian church, you know, they did not give out of their abundance. They gave out of hardship. We're not told what percentage. But it says that they gave out of their extreme poverty. We sang a song a few minutes ago, didn't we, that you're never going to let me down. And sometimes the grace of God prompts us to do things beyond what we naturally think we're able to do. And I think that's what we're seeing here in this passage. In fact, the verse 4 says that the Macedonians urgently pleaded with us for the privilege of sharing in this service to the Lord's people. They were saying, look, we want to do what we can. Verse 5, they exceeded our expectations. But here's the key. It goes on to say that they gave themselves first to the Lord, and then by the will of God, also to us. They gave themselves first to the Lord. See, if you give yourself fully to the Lord, that's saying, Lord, here I am, wholly available. As for me, I'm going to serve you. That means, so when God says, I want you to do that, you do that. And sometimes there's a cost involved with that. We used to sing an old hymn, all to Jesus I surrender, all to him I freely give. Something about that little word all, it has quite a big impact. All. So Paul's commending the Macedonian believers. So keep that in your mind. And by the grace of God, they are doing amazing things. They're doing beyond what anybody expected. And then he challenges the believers here in Corinth. Verse 7. He says, see to it also that you excel in this grace of giving. Paul urges them that as they excel in other things, not to miss excelling in giving. And then he adds an important caveat. Verse 9, I am not commanding you. I'm not commanding you. In fact, in the next chapter, chapter 9, he says each of you should give what you've decided in your heart to give, not reluctantly or under compulsion, for God loves a cheerful giver. I've got any cheerful givers in here today? But going back to verse 9 of chapter 8, I'm not commanding you, but this is a cracker. Paul gets away with all sorts, doesn't he? He won't get away with it today. You're not sure, right? Listen to this. I'm commanding you, but I want to test the sincerity of your love by comparing it with the earnestness of others. Can you imagine having your giving compared to somebody else's giving and somebody holding it up? This is what they give. This is what you're doing. Be out of a job, wouldn't I? Sheesh. Paul says, I'm comparing your giving with that of the Macedonians, and I want to encourage you to step it up. It's effectively what he's saying. You've done good in the past, don't slip back. He's saying, I'm holding these Macedonians up as examples to you. So he's commending the Macedonians and he's challenging the believers in Corinth. Then as you go into the next chapter, he starts to think, and I think we're going to apply this to all believers, to ourselves here today. Let's go to chapter 9 of 2 Corinthians, and starting to read at verse 6. He says, remember this, whoever sows sparingly will also reap sparingly, whoever sows generously will reap generously. Each of you should give what you have decided in your heart to give, not reluctantly or under compulsion, for God loves a cheerful giver. And God is able to bless you abundantly, so that in all things, at all times, having all that you need, you will abound in every good work. As it is written, they have freely scattered their gifts to the poor, their righteousness endures forever. Now he supplies the seed, who supplies seed to the sower and bread for food, will also supply and increase your store of seed and will enlarge the harvest of your righteousness. You will be enriched in every way so that you can be generous on every occasion, and through us, your generosity will result in thanksgiving to God. Here's the result of generosity. And it's found in verse 8. And God is able to bless you abundantly, so that in all things, at all times, having all that you need, you will abound in every way. Some translations actually say, God makes all grace abound to you, so that you will have all your needs covered. How much? That's a great promise from God. All your needs covered. All my needs covered. Great. As we abound in this grace that God gives us for generosity. Earlier in the series on grace, we were talking about grace upon grace, you know, and mentioned it a moment ago. We're not the final article yet, but God has enabled us to move forward from glory to glory, higher and higher, as the song was saying earlier. And there's this grace upon grace upon grace. And in that talk is one of the ones that I did, and shared what I believe are things. You see, you can't earn God's grace. You cannot earn it. I cannot earn it. But we can remove barriers to it. And we mentioned four things. Firstly, to humble ourselves before God, acknowledging that actually it's only in him. To actually receive Christ and believe in his name. Remembering the promises of God's word. And giving ourselves to Christ. And I want to link that in this context that we're talking this morning with some words of Jesus in Matthew 25. And he says, come. Come, you who are blessed by my Father. Anybody blessed of the Father? Yeah. Take your inheritance, the kingdom prepared for you since the creation of the world. For I was hungry, and you gave me something to eat. I was thirsty, and you gave me something to drink. I was a stranger, and you invited me in. I needed clothes, and you clothed me. I was ill, you looked after me. I was in prison, you came to visit me. Then the righteous will answer him, Lord, when did we see you hungry and feed you, or thirsty and give you something to drink? When did we see you a stranger, or invite you in, or needing clothes and clothe you? When did we see you ill or in prison and go to visit you? And the king will reply, truly I tell you, whatever you did for one of the least of these brothers and sisters of mine, you did for me. It's powerful, isn't it? Powerful scripture. And there's a little verse in chapter 9 of 2 Corinthians that we read. And it's a quote from the Psalms. when Paul quotes this, he says, as it is written, verse 9, they have freely scattered their gifts to the poor. Freely given. Their righteousness endures forever. Your gifts do not go unnoticed by God. People might not know, those around you might not know, but God sees, and they are not unnoticed by him. There's loads of stuff in Scripture that are helps and guidance for us with regard to this. You know, a couple of weeks ago, I was quoting one of Hugh's favourite teachers, Derek Prince, who said this, and I'll do the quote again. He said, we only qualify for God's special guidance if we are obedient to his general guidance, the Bible. So if you're looking for guidance from God, well, make sure you're following the general guidance first. And Scripture is full of God's general guidance when it comes to generosity. And notice, I'm using the word guidance. I said earlier that Paul was saying in this context, I'm not commanding you. I'm not commanding you, but I want to encourage you. Mind you, he did say, I'm going to send the boys round. Well, actually, he did say Titus. I'm going to send Titus to help oversee the collection and help you with this, but guidance. But listen to the words of Jesus again, Matthew 6. The eye, verse 22, the eye is the lamp of the body. If your eyes are healthy, your whole body will be full of light. But if your eyes are unhealthy, your whole body will be full of darkness. Now, Hugh shared this with me. Obviously, he's got a bit more background when it comes to Middle Eastern culture and working out there in, I won't say Syria, that's not right. Jordan, thank you. He said this is an interesting little scripture because where it talks about your eyes being healthy, not to do with do you need glasses or not, but actually in the Middle East, they use that term of healthy eyes to actually mean being generous. So that is still in Israel today, in places like that, when collecting for good causes, in the Hebrew, they will use the phrase, have a good eye. In other words, be generous. Be generous. And the promise for Jesus is, if you have a good eye, or good eyes, if you are generous, your whole body will be full of light. How many of you like a bit of lightness in their spirit? Not weighted down with heaviness now. You can have various translations of what our body full of light would be. But let's just use that one for the time being. And Jesus has various bits of guidance when it comes to generosity and giving. Matthew 10:8, you know, he's sending his disciples out for the very first time. And he says, you know, freely you've received, freely give. And there's a principle there. There's a principle there. And then in Luke's Gospel, chapter 6, and this is from the New Living Translation. He says, give and you'll receive. Your gift will return to you full, in full, pressed down, shaken together to make room for more, running over, poured into your lap. The amount you give will determine the amount you get back. In other words, receive, give, receive, give, receive. There's a sequence. You know, Paul never asked them to give out of what they didn't have, but he said, from what you have received. And then this little interesting image that Jesus, in that passage I just read, quotes. He said, you know, your gift will return to you, pressed down, shaken together, make room for more. Reminds me of when I was a little boy. My grandparents used to live in Nettleham, just outside of Lincoln. In summer holidays, I used to go and stay with them for a week or two. And I remember on one particular visit, we'd been shopping and brought the shopping into the home and started putting it away. And my grandfather had got this bag. Well, I'll describe it as muesli, but it wasn't muesli like we. I mean, I'm going back when I was about 7, so just a week or two. Steady. It wasn't muesli in this bag. I'm not sure what it was, but they did eat it with milk on, but it was foul. It was awful. But anyway, so rather than just keep it in the bag, he had a container for it, a big Tupperware container. And so gets the Tupperware container out, opens the bag up and starts to pour the contents of this bag, this muesli type stuff, into this container. Fills the container. And I thought, oh, he's going to put the rest, tie the bag up and put the rest in the cupboard. And he starts banging the side of the container, shaking it and rattling it and what have you. And I said, what are you doing? And he says, don't worry, we're going to get it all in there. And there was about a third of the bag left. And I'm thinking, that's never going to happen. It's never going to happen. And he poured a bit more in, filled it up again. And he rattled it and shook it, and it all sort of settled further down again. And then he poured a bit, and true to his word, he'd done it before. He filled the container with all the contents of the bag. You know, I believe somebody needs to hear today, you are able to contain more of God's blessing than you are aware of. There may be a bit of a shaking going on to help it happen. You may have to go through some stuff to make it happen, but God wants to pour some blessing into your heart and life. And as you pour out, God wants to pour back in to a greater measure. The writer of the Proverbs, Proverbs 11, says, one person gives freely, yet gains even more. Another withholds unduly, but comes to poverty. A generous person will prosper, but whoever refreshes others will be refreshed. From what you've received, now give. And when you give, you receive. You know, and I think in the context here, Paul doesn't actually say money, but I think he's probably talking about money. But actually, when we're talking about being generous, we're not just talking about money, are we? That's our spirit, our generous spirit in terms of how we treat people. Are we generous when we need to forgive someone, for example? Are we generous in going an extra mile and helping people in our acts of kindness? Are we generous with those? Are we generous with our time and our talents in helping others? Are we generous in our prayers and praying for others? I was quite struck this week again with the initiative that the Archbishop of Canterbury has been unrolling. He started it last year. It's gaining a bit more momentum this year, and it's called Thy Kingdom Come. Has anybody heard about it? Okay, you're going to find out now. Whole idea is to get the church praying, not the Church of England, but the church in England praying for our nation. And so in between the date of Ascension and Pentecost, which is a 10-day period, he's encouraging the church across the nation to pray in all sorts of different ways, to be creative in our prayers. And then the latest thing that came out, some of you may have seen it if you're on Facebook or Twitter. This was doing the rounds just the other day. And he's challenging us as God's people to be generous with our prayer and to pray for others, to pray that people will become Christians. How many of you would love to see more people coming to know Jesus Christ? Let's just show this video clip. Can we just kill the lights, Eric? Sarah, can we play this on a couple of minutes?
There's a lot about this job that stops you getting too self-important. I remember being at some event, one of my colleagues heard someone in the crowd whisper, "Isn't that the Archbishop of Canterbury over there?" And the person's friend hissed back, "Nah, too short." When I meet Jesus Christ at the judgment, I know one thing. He isn't going to care what size of archbishop I was, or I think whether I was an archbishop. What matters is that I loved him and sought to follow him, and above all, that I trusted in him alone for my life and my future. Because the most important thing I've ever done is to become a follower of Jesus. I took my first steps with him about 42 years ago. Over those years, he's been a faithful friend, a sovereign Lord, compassionate, forgiving, my ever-present Saviour, everything in my life, the heart and foundation of all I am. Through the hardest and most painful times, and in the best and most joyful times of my life, Jesus has walked alongside me. He's never left, even when I've wanted him to. When I felt ready to give up hope, he picked me up, and it's his love that has healed me and strengthened me. Following Jesus has been the core point of my life, and that's one reason I want everyone to hear his voice calling to them and to learn what it is to find his love, his call, his direction, his purpose. That's why I'm pledging to pray for more people to know the life-transforming love of Jesus Christ. And that's why I'm asking you, along with every Christian community around the world, to join me in pledging to pray as part of Thy Kingdom Come.
Pete, do you want to come? I like Justin Welby. Great guy. What an encouragement to the church to pray for the people, as we did earlier. Hugh's already done it. We've done it in this gathering already. But in our personal prayers, to be encouraged, to be generous in our praying for others. You know, the Apostle Paul, if he was writing his letter today, referring to this subject of generosity, what would he say about me? What would he say about us? Would, in his eyes, would we be like the Macedonian believers? Through the generosity is an expression of God's grace at work in their lives. They did not give out of abundance. They did more than was humanly expected. In his eyes, would we be like the Corinthian church? There was a lot of good things to commend them. And they started well with regard to generous giving. But would he say, don't slip back? Or maybe there's some here today who are just stepping out, and by the grace of God, they're on this journey of generosity. Or perhaps we should take hold of those words of Jesus: from what you have received, freely give. Let us pray. Perhaps the musicians will come back. Father, thank you this morning for the incredible grace, gift of Jesus Christ to this world. Thank you that the love that is expressed in that gift has been made known to us. And we want to echo again those prayers that we prayed earlier on, that that love of Christ would be known abroad across our nation in greater measure this year. There are people on our minds right now who we'd love to see get a revelation of who you are and what you've done for them. And we want to pray these things to come. We pray, Lord, that they would come to pass, that person upon person upon person would have a revelation of you and respond to the message of the gospel. And Lord, in our prayers and in our giving and of time and energy and talents and finance, Lord, I pray that you would give us a boldness to work with your grace in operation over our lives. And that when you prompt us and when you guide us, Lord, when it's sometimes a bit of a, I'm not quite sure how this is going to work out, Lord, I pray that across this room, we'd recognize your voice at work in our hearts and lives. And that as we sang right at the very beginning, that you're never going to let us down. Lord, I pray that that would be an assurance for each one here today as we continue this journey in and under the grace of God. Lord, and I pray that as we give, Lord, that you would multiply what is given. And you would do far more than we ever dreamed or imagined, where sometimes what we feel is so small. Lord, would you bless it as you did with those loaves and fish. Lord, would you do amazing things for your kingdom, for your glory, for your honor. I pray your blessing and the grace of God upon your people. In Jesus' name, amen.